All right, then. Let's get into hour number two. I'm Jim Rome. Welcome to the program. It is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Phone number is toll-free in the United States. Also in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. I've got time for your phone calls. We will get back to them momentarily. But we're joined right now by the head football coach at Mississippi State. He is entering his second season with the Bulldogs. He was the 2016 and 2017 National Offensive Coordinator of the Year, led the Bulldogs to a bowl game and a top 25 ranking last season. First MSU head coach to win eight or more games in his debut since 1939. They open up against Louisiana in New Orleans on August 31st. Joe Moorhead is my guest. Joe, it's good to have you on. How are you?
Great to be back, Jim. Doing great. How you doing?
Good, good. Good to have you back, Joe. So fall practice opens up next week, and the preparations for Louisiana in the Superdome will begin in earnest. But, Joe, before we get to that, I understand there's a big Little League tournament going on. What are those Little League games like for you as a father?
Oh, they're fantastic. And I'm a baseball guy at heart, so it's, you know, one of the times where I get to plop down my chair and kind of sit behind the screen and, you know, watch our guys play. And, you know, we win this one. We had the regionals in Waco. That'll be on ESPN. So one pitch at a time is what I'm telling them.
That's big-time baseball right there. Now, I know you're a baseball guy. In fact, as long as we're on the topic, you're a big Pirates fan, and you were back in Pittsburgh recently for the 40th reunion of the 1979 Pirates team. What kind of memories do you have of that team?
I was just about six when they won that series in 79, and I can remember it vividly. Can probably recite the entire start lineup, and there was a little bit of rain delay in the game this past Saturday, and they put the they put that game seven up on the screen, and it was pretty cool when they assembled the team right prior to the game and announced all the guys. And it was just a pretty neat moment for people from Pittsburgh who followed that team.
Joe Moorhead joining us. I feel like I could do an entire interview about Little League or the We Are Family Pirates or the Curse of Oak Island. I mean, all of this is a compliment. But a lot of coaches try to make it seem like they don't have lives, that they're only obsessed with college football. Joe, how important is it for you to have a life away from the game and to unplug when there's time to unplug?
Yeah, a good friend of mine who I went to high school with, who's now the defensive coordinator at Texas, Todd Orlando, we coached together at UConn the year that, we went to the Fiesta Bowl. And one thing that he said to me, he said, hey, in this profession, you've got to take your job seriously, but not yourself. But at the end of the day, we're husbands, we're fathers. And I think that the more in tune and the more fun that you have off the field, I think the better coach it makes you, you know, when it comes time to do those things in the season.
We are talking to Joe Moorhead. That's really interesting that you got to take your job seriously, but not yourself. Now, you're coming off a season where you were ranked in the top 25. You won the Egg Bowl by 32 points. You went to a New Year's Bowl. You had the most wins at Mississippi State by a first-year head coach in nearly eight decades. You always want more, but from the outside, that seems like a really successful season. When you look back on last year, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was pleased with it, but not satisfied. Certainly, we had a very, very high-level defense, led the SEC in the country in scoring defense and total yardage. I had three guys drafted in the first round. Took some positive steps offensively. You know, there were a few games there at the beginning of the season against SEC opponents where we didn't perform to my expectation level or historically what we've done in this offensive system. But I do think we built a strong foundation, and I think, year two, everywhere I've been, we've taken a nice big jump and a major step, and I think we're poised to do that this year as well.
We're talking Mississippi State football. Joe Moorhead's the head coach. All right, so what about that second year? As you get ready for your second season, how different does it feel as compared to this time last year?
I think, the kids understand our expectation level of them, and we understand their expectation level of us. You know, coaches use the term culture, and I feel like, you know, we've taken major steps there. I'm seeing great things this summer from our leadership, our chemistry, our accountability and all those little things that matter, because we're not always going to have the most talented team. You know, obviously the SEC and the SEC West, the most, rigorous division in all of college football. And when you don't always have the most talent on your roster, you got to find a way to bridge the gap between good and great. And I think our belief in those little things is what's going to help us. And I've seen that so far this summer.
Now, Joe, there's culture, and that's critical to be sure. And then there's schemes. You've always been known for your offensive schemes. So when you're coming into a new situation with a whole new roster and you've got to install a new offense, how are you able to get the offense to where you wanted it to be last year? How'd you get it in so quickly?
Yeah, I think it's a delicate balance, Jim. And at the end of the day, I always tell our coaches, it's not what we know, it's what the players can execute. You want to make sure that you have your scheme match your personnel, not the other way around. there are certain things that we did at Penn State and at places before that maybe we weren't able to do right away here at Mississippi State, you know, based on who our guys are and what were they were able to execute. But I think a good, strong foundation of it was built. I think we did a very, very good job running the ball. And I think for us to take the next step, we gotta increase the efficiency and the explosiveness of our pass game, and I think we're going to be able to do that.
Joe Moorhead joining us. All right, so in terms of that pass game, the expectation is you'll have a quarterback battle in camp between Tommy Stevens, who arrived from Penn State, and Keaton Thompson. Rather than asking you to evaluate their strengths, what is it that you're looking for in a quarterback, and what are the signs that let you know somebody is the guy that you want to lead that offense?
Yeah, with the guys on our roster and the guys that we recruit, we say we want a quarterback to compete with his brain, his arms, and his legs. And I think the biggest thing outside of inspired confidence in your teammates and the belief that you're the guy to lead the team to victories, both guys are equally skilled as runners. If you look at their history, they're probably both around 8 yards a carry. So that's not going to be the thing that separates them. For us, it's going to be who throws the ball better, who makes the best decisions, who's the most accurate, who can push the ball down the field, and who can minimize turnover. So the thing throughout the course of camp and the competition that's going to lead us to a starter is who's going to be the better thrower of the two guys.
We're talking to Joe Moorhead. Now, Joe, you mentioned the defense, and you had some elite talent on defense, as you pointed out. You had three guys go in the first round, yet you're still returning a lot of talent on that side of the ball. What kind of expectations do you have for the defense this year?
Yeah, I think we're going to need to reload rather than rebuild. Bob Shoup, who was a Broyles Award finalist last year, came in from, you know, Tennessee, did an awesome job with his staff. You know, the front four, we lost Montez, Gary Green, and Jeffrey Auld to the draft, and Braxton Hoyette signed a free agent contract, as well as our three interior backups. So I think across the defensive line, we've got experience, we've got talent, we just got to get them a bunch of reps. I think our linebacking core is as good as any in the SEC or the country, and have some good returning guys on the back end. So it's going to be a matter of getting the inexperienced guys who are talented a bunch of repetitions and kind of, you know, elevating the expectation level to build off of what we did last year.
We're talking Mississippi State football. Head coach Joe Moorhead for another moment or two joining us. Now, when you and I talked about last season, this was not your first time as a head coach. You had been a head coach before when you were at Fordham before going to Penn State as the offensive coordinator. So, Joe, how did it feel to be back as a head coach?
No, it felt great. And to be able to take over Fordham, which was my alma mater, and I think we went 38-13 there and, you know, beat two FBS teams, beat Temple and beat Army. It's the same seat, but with a lot more responsibility and a lot more eyes on you. I think around the staff table at Fordham, we had 10 total people, you know, sitting in the staff room now, and there's probably 35, 40 people in there. And it means more delegation and more responsibility, but to have the opportunity to lead a group of young men to achieve things that maybe they're not capable of achieving on their own, because that's what I define as leadership. And there's no better place to do it than the SEC West. And that's why I took this job, because of the challenge of doing it against the best. We're going to do it big or we're not going to do it at all.
You bet. And Joe, one last thought. One of the differences between last year and this year is the fact that you've got a totally new physique. You dropped more than 50 pounds. And you said, quote, "I got to 295. I got tired of recruits asking where I played on the offensive line instead of how many yards I passed for as a quarterback. That was one reason, but the true impetus of it was my mom," end quote. So what did your mom say to you? And then how much did that motivate you?
Well, her and my dad came down to the bowl game, to the Outback Bowl, and we got back home and he kind of got on the phone, and you know, I'm the youngest of three, and she's an Italian lady from Pittsburgh, and the next thing I do wrong in her eyes will be the first thing, in only a way she can. "Hey, honey, I'm a little bit worried about your health. You think maybe you should start watching what you eat?" And when she said that, it was time to take a good hard look in the mirror and a good hard push away from the table and start dropping some LBS.
Joe, the thing is, being a head coach is a really stressful job. I mean, there are more things to do than there are hours in the day. Between being a family man and a coach, it's easy and it's understandable to just grab whatever you can when you can, no matter what it is. But that has not been your approach. What has been your approach when it comes to diet?
Yeah, the term, I guess, is intermittent fasting, where you pick a 6 to 8 hour block of time during the day to eat. You know, I've heard that most people do it from noon to 6 or noon to 8. That allows you to get two meals. I felt like anything worth doing was worth overdoing. So I go like 6 to midnight, which allows me to eat one meal. And like I said, I don't know that I didn't do much research into it. I started doing it and it worked. So just kept it rolling.
So let me ask you, how different do you feel as a result of all this?
Now, I feel great. I used to have to walk, and I'm not very fast, so I don't run. So now I'm able to jog and, you know, just don't feel like you're carrying those extra 55 pounds around with you.
Great. He's the head football coach at Mississippi State, entering his second season there. They're coming off a really, really big season. They open up against Louisiana in New Orleans on August 31st. Joe Moorhead, my guest. Joe, great to get caught up, and nice to have you back on. Thanks so much.
No, great to be back, man. Really appreciate it, Jim.
You got it, Joe. You too, Joe. Appreciate it. Joe Moorhead. Appreciate him coming on, and I also appreciate the legend that is Bill Martin at Mississippi State. Bill, my man, good looking out. Appreciate you and appreciate the coach. They had a huge year. And as he points out, traditionally, their second year under Joe Moorhead is a really good year. 1-800-636-8686. Always good to talk Mississippi State football. All right, so we're open right now. Still ahead, Pete Prisco. That's coming up in hour number three. I do want to talk about Shane Lowry. Man, my man got after it after he won the Open Championship. I know we talked a lot of golf yesterday, but there is an update. A good update, a fun update, a nice update, which I want to get to. That's Hawk. Dear Jim, if being a bad actor got you Grammys, I'd be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yours, Taco Tuesdayson Chewart. Brett from Bugaha. War mother-daughter routines. War, it's writ! Landing me for podcast episode 100.
Take three. Alvin, roll tape. Wait for Gina. Action.
Excuse me, I'm looking for Debbie.
She your friend?
She's my daughter.
You want to do a mother-daughter routine? Name your price.
If you could just show me where she is, please.
That's Taco Tuesdayson Chewart. You know, I would say that Tuesdayson Chewart is not a topic on this show. After all, he works for another media concern. But since it's still on his Twitter bio that he worked here, I guess he could still be a topic on this show. Hey, Alvin, do you have the song for Tuesdayson Chewart? I guess not. Brett from Bugaha. Or maybe
I'm
you do.
I'm so fat, I'm famous. People say I'm a food pervert. Wasting sherbert. Funnel cakes and candy, then some chicken cordon bleu.
I'm not sure where Stu works now. I know he's still in the business. I don't know where he works because it's not in his Twitter bio, but we know where he did work because that is in his Twitter bio. But Stu's always been kind of odd and unpredictable like that.
Without the nicks and cuts of a blade.
I mean, he is singing about how fat he is.
Fat!
That's why Brett from Bugaha signed it Taco Tuesdayson Chewart.
My eating habits are affecting the show.
Actually, Brett hit on something. Ike, we got to figure this out. Ep 100 of the podcast. You were not here for all 100, but 100 is going to be an important one. Who do we book for Ep 100 of the Jim Rome podcast? It's not going to be Taco Tuesdayson Chewart. Ep 100. Who's the whale? Who's the one guy we want? Or gal? Who's the one person we want that we have not been able to run down? Ep 100. We had Aaron Rodgers for episode 1. I don't even know who episode 50 was. Look that up real quick. Come on. Is that true? The Penguin, Ron Say. I love that. Terry Bradshaw, my other childhood hero, is coming up tomorrow. But episode 100, I got to think about that. My only other childhood hero, I had three. Ron Say, Terry Bradshaw, Gail Goodrich. Episode 100, that's something to think about. All right, we will take a break. When we return, let's talk Shane Lowry. Let's talk about something fun, something happy, something drunk. That's coming up next. Pete Prisco coming up in hour number three. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. I'm on vacation starting next week, and it's a 2-week jaunt. So if there's something you want to hit on, hit it this week. We'll come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Clones have picked up on the story that Mark Sanchez is hanging up in the NFL to join ESPN as a college football analyst. He played 10 years in the NFL. And remember, Mark Sanchez went to a couple of conference championship games early in his career. Always loved having him on the show. Big personality, good rap. He should be very good at that if he kind of lets it go, right? I'd be curious to see how far he goes. Like any athlete, I'm curious to see how far he goes with it. But he's got a great look. He's very conversational, very likable. He could be really good at that if he puts it out there. Came on the show in 2011, was always good about shouting out to the clones. Mark, what is up?
Rome and clones. What up?
That's it. The only guest I know who acknowledges the clones off the very top. Why do you do that, Mark?
Well, they're a big part of the show. I'm a fan of the show. My dad, the only one he asked about before I come out here, before we start hobnobbing here, is, you doing Rome? You doing Rome? So we used to listen to it in the car when I was a little kid. You got Bart Scott's back, so it's a natural fit.
You understand, this is Mark Sanchez in all his glory. Mark Sanchez in all his prime. Saying, I used to listen to the show as a kid with my dad growing up. You've got Bart Scott's back. The clones were a big part of the program. And my dad said when I came out here, are you doing Rome? So I got your back, Mark.
Thank you very much. Clones, I'm out. Peace.
It's so good. Rome. Yes. Don't believe anything you read on the internet. Interestingly, the allegations against Jones are on a criminal complaint and summons filed in Metropolitan Court. Unwar dudes who don't take Le'Veon's advice and take their craft to strip clubs. Damasio in Albuquerque. He's got a good point, John. This is not just something we can read on the internet. Rome, Le'Veon is wrong. I wake up and I lift all day. Sign the Kardashians' plastic surgeon, Stephen PHX, or Le'Veon Bell and Stevie Wonder having the same haircut. Dear Romy, war coach Moorhead for knowing to unplug and when to do it. It's not always easy. Sincerely, Quinn Pitcock. Nikki? A lady clone went with a Quinn Pitcock reset.
What?
Come on, Nikki.
Well, I used to think any addiction is a weak-minded person, but you know, once you become an addict of something, your view is completely changed, and I quickly realized that what people are talking about when you have a physical need for the thing. Even though I mentally did not want to play anymore, I would break the games or get rid of it, you know, burn them, put them in the microwave. But the next morning, I physically needed to play, and I would go out and buy another game and have to start playing again for the rest of the day.
That's 2012, and a lot of you think that's pretty funny. Video games are an addiction, too. That's the point that he was trying to make. That was back in 2012. He said, I was addicted to video games. I knew it. I tried to stop. So I would throw the console away or put it in the microwave oven and melt it, only to wake up the next day, go to the store, and buy another one. Because I was addicted, and for some reason, y'all think that's funny. Trust me, you can get addicted to video games. You can get addicted to a lot of things. A lot of you degenerates are addicted to a lot of things, but you think that's really funny. My man would put a console in the microwave. It's like calling your kid up. Hey, listen, get my cigarettes. Flush them down the toilet. Hey. Get my PS4, put it in the microwave, put it on high for 20 minutes. Would you get off this guy's back already?
Hey.
Nikki, the lady clone is even on that. Oh, this guy's good. All right, so I'm soliciting. Who should be episode 100? There's people we're chasing. Now, of late, the guy that I really wanted was the guy that we got a couple weeks back, Jocko Willink. This guy writes, episode 100. Bo Jackson. Bo is the most explosive athlete I've ever seen in my life. Period. Ike says he's working on it. I love Bo. Bo would be a great F-100. I love Bo. When I think about Bo, I think about a lot of things. Him being a two-sport star. Him scaling the wall to make a play. Him dragging Boz with him. Crab apples.
I get all of
with my buddies and my cousins, and we would have crab apple battles because back then we didn't have video games and all this stuff that the kids are playing with now. We had to go outside and make our own fun. We would have crab apple battles. But in the way it was set up, it would be 8 or 9 kids against me, and I would always win. I would always chase them around the neighborhood. I would throw crab apples through screen doors because kids would run home and think that they're safe. And once they get inside, they feel, hey, I'm safe. And little do they know, a crab apple will come through the screen, pop them in the back. There wasn't any boundaries as far as being safe in my book.
Hey, listen, I don't know that we need him for F-100 because it's not going to get any better than that. Bo taking on the entire neighborhood in a crab apple battle. Bo running after kids in the neighborhood. Bo 1 on 8, 1 on 9. Yeah, that's got to hurt. That's got to leave a mark. Bo Jackson firing crab apples at other kids and through screen doors. And how pissed would you be if you were the owner of one of those houses? But then again, you probably had grown-ass men coming outside and looking at 12-year-old Bo and saying, I don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of that kid. It's fine, Mr. Jackson. Thank you for wrecking my screen, Mr. Jackson. May I have another? At Hitman Canadian tweets, take your job seriously, but not yourself. I'm well ahead of that game. Signed, Hawk. Corey Gales tweets, episode 100 should be none other than Delonte West. You better have my donuts. Hot
train
sauce in my bag. Hot sauce in my bag.
Donuts. Put hot sauce in my bag. Hot sauce in my bag. Hot sauce in my bag.
Delonte will always be a legend in these parts. This will always be a big Delonte house. The challenge with Delonte is, one, living up to that segment. Like, what do you do that could ever be as good as that? And Delonte's been a little bit elusive, but I've got a soft spot in my heart for Delonte. This is a huge Delonte West house. All right, I can consider that. Lloyd Pierce came on the program last week and gave Delonte a ton of love.
Many years ago, you did the Jim Rome show, and you had a guest, Delonte West, on your show. I was coaching in Cleveland at the time. It was probably one of the funniest segments I've ever seen where you just followed him around with the mic. I don't know if you remember that.
But, my man. Can I tell you, not only do I remember that, that was called the correspondent piece, which I did for ESPN, and we did dozens and dozens. That was far and away the best one ever. And since
I
you mentioned that.
In Cleveland at the time when all of that was going on. What? It was probably one of the funniest 2 days ever. J.J. Hickson, Delonte West, the donut. We used to make the guys go to Krispy Kreme. It was about 45 minutes outside of the city. I remember that was one of the funniest segments we've ever seen.
He goes, broke back JJ. He had a broken back.
That was pretty good. Planes, trains, automobiles, don't forget my donuts.
Listen, Lloyd. He's got that thing word by word. Hey, Rome, how do you mention Bo Jackson and not reset him saying that he would shove a bomb up Bin Laden's butt? Bo, it's always good to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Jim, I'm doing fine. I'm in Atlanta. I flew here from Chicago, and I'm sitting on the runway because they had a security breach at the airport. And if you ask me, they should find this guy, put him in the bathroom with me for 5 minutes. Let me whoop his ass.
Bo Jackson. Maybe Bo should be F-100. Brian and Bugaha, massive congrats to Shane Lowry for winning the other Open. Because of his performance, he now has a lifetime exemption to the Jungle Open. We talked about the inaugural Jungle Open. All right, so again, seriously, I'm soliciting your thoughts. Who would you like to hear for episode 100? Pick Ike up. Give him some help. Who should we effort for episode 100 of the Jim Rome podcast? Original programming once a week. We are now on episode 90. Terry Bradshaw tomorrow for Ep 90. Who should we work on for Ep 100? When we come back, let's get into it. Let's talk about Shane Lowry and how he celebrated his big win at the Open Championship. Congrats to Mark Sanchez, big jungle guy. 10 years in the NFL, a couple of games, a couple of AFC Championship appearances. Parlaying that into a job with ESPN. Can parlay this break into a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California,
This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Tonight, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, CBS Sports Network is at Cheyenne Frontier Days for last Cowboys standing. Major points, major money, and a major legacy is at stake as the top 40 riders compete till the very end. The PBR Unleash the Beast series continues on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. All right, so here's some suggestions for Ep 100 of the Jim Rome podcast. Anthony Kim. That'd be legendary. AK's not showing up like that. That'd be pretty legendary, though. Anthony Kim. The Zookeeper. Larry Brown. Al Michaels. Vin Scully. Romo. Bruce Willis. Duff McKagan, Joe Rogan, Adam Sandler, Oge, Iggy Pop, Conor McGregor. All right, so a number of those on the list have been on the program. A number of those have been on the program, but not in quite some time. A couple of these guys I would never consider. Some of these guys have not done the program, but were out to already. Is there anybody on that list you really want to hear from? Anthony Kim is one of my favorite athletes ever. I would be very skeptical of him showing up and doing a sit-down like that. I mean, I'd love to have him. I usually text with Anthony Kim a couple times a year. Like, what's up? What's up, Rome? Yeah, let's get together sometime. And then 6 months will go by, and there'll be some sighting. Like, there's Anthony Kim on the driving range. When it's not. The Zookeeper is not going to be episode 100. Larry Brown could. Always been one of my favorite guests. Al Michaels has not come on. We've been efforting him. Vin Scully. You know, I had Vin Scully on once. Once back in the day. On my ESPN 2 Talk 2 show. And that was an interesting experience. Romo. Romo's awesome. Romo is a jungle legend. I mean, I could possibly do Romo for Ep 100. Or 99, or 101, or 100, whenever. Bruce Willis would be great. Duff McKagan, we've been out to for a while. Joe Rogan, we've been out to. Adam Sandler would be fun. Oge is not going to be episode 100. Conor McGregor would be amazing. Anybody else? Romy, I'm glad you're going to touch on the open again. I heard you say that Koepka is built like a linebacker. Child, please. Regards, Darwin Zook. Child, please. The flight deck's in. The flight deck's asking for...
Child, please.
John Daly or Jay Cutler. Either or. Either or. I'm looking for suggestions. Episode 100. Let's go to Calgary. Bob in Calgary. Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Rome?
Great.
I think you should get a few bags of carrots, a couple of apples, and invite SJP to be on your 100th episode.
That's not a good call. No.
I was great.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
And now I'd be less than great. SJP.
It doesn't make any sense.
Why don't I get a couple of carrots, a bag of apples, and have SJP on? Hey, Bob, no pun intended, but dude, you are a one-trick pony. That was never funny ever, and it's really not funny now, man. Stop doing it. Dear Rome, it's a no-brainer. Do the lobster. Hey, Avi, can I get some lobster music? Yeah, that's not going to happen, I don't think. Clone's got a fascination with the weirdest things. The Red Lobster. You mean Mike Shanahan. Yeah, that wouldn't be out of left field. Can you imagine Ritt trying to pitch that. Hey, Mike, you know, really important episode. The episode number 100 of the Jim Rome podcast. You and Jim have always done really well together. What do you say you come on for EP 100? It's not going to be the Lobster. All right, so Shane Lowry is your 2019 Open winner and champion golfer of the year. You know this. You saw it on Sunday. Like, how in the world are you going to get the Lobster? How can you expect the Lobster to pick up the phone and conduct a 30 to 40 minute interview with those claw hands? That's why he's not doing it. He can't hold a phone that long. And we don't do speakerphone interviews either, so you can't do that. You can't do Bluetooth. And you can't do it. What happens when the phone drops to the bottom of the tank and he tries to pick it up with that claw hand? What happened when a customer happens upon that tank and says, I'll have that one for dinner? Now, I'd expect that Lobster to pick up the phone when his claws are rubber banded. There's so many reasons why he couldn't do it, and not one reason why he could. It's a bad idea. You get all those lobsters jammed up the bottom of the tank. How am I going to get the right lobster to the phone? How do I even know it's the right lobster? You know, he's not going to be on episode 100 for all those reasons. I can give you 100 reasons why the Lobster wouldn't be the guest on episode 100. It's a stupid idea, Kelly. Hate to give you up, James Kelly. James Kelly's like fascinated by the Red Lobster. Hey, Flight Deck, bad enough that you only work one day a week. Can you stop interrupting my program with your bad ideas? You got a big head and you're working one day a week. Come on, man. You gamble too much, too. You're not helping them. You're hurting them, big head. And you shouldn't be texting me about the Lobster.
That's not helping kids.
It's hurting them, Flight Deck. Shane Lowry is your 2019 Open winner and champion golfer of the year. We know this, right? We talked about it yesterday. You saw it on Sunday. But if you thought that he turned Port Rush inside out last week, especially with that 63 in the third round, he might have actually gone even more legend in the clubhouse afterwards. According to Padraig Harrington, Lowry and his family and friends cleaned out the entire beer supply at Royal Port Rush by 9 p.m. local. They killed every beer there. And that's some serious pounding when you consider the tournament ended only a few hours earlier and that Lowry had to do a grip of media. Somewhere right now, Wade Boggs is tipping his hat, and a cold one, or 72. But if you thought that Lowry was going to look around at a bunch of tapped kegs and call it a night, then you do not know this dude, because he and his wife and the claret jug drove 3 hours, or somebody hopefully drove them 3 hours, from Port Rush down to Dublin, and they continued to rage. Now, how many of you are walking 18 in sheets of sideways rain, drinking the clubhouse dry, then humping it 3 more hours to an after party? You know, not a nightcap, but an after party. None of you, because none of you are Shane Lowry. But when you win the jug in your native land, then you party and you drink all night with the natives, even if there is a 3-hour car ride in between the parties. And at some point during that night, at 37 Dawson Street Pub, Lowry got up in front of the crowd with the jug and a tall pint and belted out a classic Irish ballad called The Fields of Athenry. Insane. This is so awesome. And for the last time, can you turn that phone on its side? If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you can see it. It's so amazing. This guy's in a pub with the jug and a pint and a bunch of locals and hitting it hard. I mean, such an awesome moment. especially since this guy was in the same threads that he was wearing during Sunday's round. Same pants, same shirt, same hat. Only the hat was turned backwards, and he was leading the crowd in song. My man had 3 hours to change clothes in his car and still showed up in his Sunday golf polo tucked in. Imagine being an Irishman in that pub when the champion golfer of the year shows up only a couple of hours after ripping the jug a couple of hundred miles to the north. It says a lot about Shane Lowry that the first thing he did was share that moment with his people. The people. And not just a moment. There are dozens of pictures of strangers from that bar chugging brewski from the claret. But the best picture actually came from the morning after on his Instagram page. It's a picture of the jug in his bed on a pillow with a caption that reads, "I pulled last night." Damn right you did, Shane. Damn right you did, playa. But the party's not over. The freaking Irish government is getting in on it because they've already arranged a homecoming party for Lowry. A homecoming party so big that he canceled his trip to Memphis, where he was supposed to play in the World Golf Championship next week, and instead he's going to stay home and keep drinking and keep celebrating with his people. Dude is literally canceling work to stay home and party with his entire nation. It looks and sounds pretty awesome. Hey, Rory? Shane Lowry. Championship golfer of the year, champion drinker of all time. My man, uniting all of Ireland. That's the way to hit it. And he did pull last night. He pulled that jug. Got nice with the jug. Setting up hour number three, I've got an open segment at the top of the hour. Pete Prisco, senior NFL columnist for CBS Sports, will be joining me next hour. All right, still ahead, the thing I've not gotten into. The NFL announced that Tyreek Hill would not be suspended. We know this. But then come to find out that Jaron Reed is going to be suspended for something that happened back in 2017. If you didn't know that Reed had been investigated for something in 2017, you're not alone. Dear Rome, Lowry glossed me.
He glossed me!
Signed every damn beer in Northern Ireland. Damasio. That's two for you, Damasio. Well done. He's in Albuquerque.
It's two for me.
Jim, can't believe that nobody suggested the obvious person to interview. Interview Janet for some behind-the-show deets. Jim in Wisconsin. I'll give you this, Jim. She's in Wisconsin right now. Janet and Jake are in Madison for registration. Janet's only been on the show once. Once in her entire life. Once. She's not doing episode 100. I mean, I could ask. She's not doing it. Because she's only been on the show once. When we come back, hour number three, we'll talk about also DJ Durkin and Dan Quinn. Like, what's Quinn thinking in bringing Durkin in? Phone lines are open. Pick them up. Hawk, look at that. They're going off. 1-800-636-8686. Who would you like to hear for episode 100 of the Jim Rome Podcast? Stay tuned.